This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
Look at it. You see it? It's the ifanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 112. It's sponsored by Jim Hanley's Universe and the Netflix.
It's a miracle.
You don't see it, do you?
Oh, okay. Well, it is. There you go.
What the hell was that?
It's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees, putting up rain, dancing songs of joy and peace. So, wish I had a river I could skate away on.
Okay, I think we got that all sorted out. You guys, okay, good. Welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick the Week podcast, episode 112.
It falls apart on the 112th show, apparently.
Well, you know how many times we've said it falls apart? It never really has. Well, that they know about. They don't know that I've got my lips wrapped around a vodka bottle over here.
On a
it's
what?
Like, oh no, it's time.
I was going to say something else.
I use a straw. So are we going to go to really
are we into belching just humor now? Is that what's happening?
I know. Are we just going to do really lame jokes now? Like, you're gay. You're gay. Gay. Sure. That's totally what I want to be involved with. So I'm Josh, and I want to be involved with prurient humor. And I'm here with Ron.
I can't stop laughing.
He's giggling. And there's Connor. Say hi. Yeah, there he
Hello.
Is. iFanboy.com, we like comics and juvenile humor. But we read comics, especially comics with a lot of juvenile humor, and then every week we read a whole bunch of them and then pick the best one. One of us will pick the best one. I don't remember anymore. We need more people to send
How does
these
this
in.
Work?
Pick the best one, write a review on it, the website, and then we come here and we do a show about that show and the other notable books of the week, among other things that we do. I'm back to doing Jon Stewart.
Oh, fantastic. It's come back.
Listen to the first three shows. It's just me acting like Jon Stewart. I can't help
it. The first three shows? You mean look at the last 10 years.
Yeah. He stole my whole bit.
He did. That fucker. All right.
Connie, you have the pick. Take it. Oh, wait. Hold on.
But hold. Wait.
Yeah. If you didn't read your books, you go now because we're going to mess all your stuff up.
Oh,
that's
your
what
stuff.
I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. We got spoilers ahoy. So you will read the books and then you will come back and listen because otherwise we can't be held responsible. Connor, go.
You ever have one of those months where you just want some good comics because everything else kind of blows?
Yes.
In life or comics?
Yeah. In
both.
Life.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to say it. Yes, I have, Connor.
You just want to go to a comic store on Wednesday and pick up a big old stack of comics and take them home and lovingly caress them and read them.
Yes.
And, well, you certainly got a
enjoy
big old stack.
Have a good time. Not so much this week. This week was.
I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, it was.
There was a couple of good books. There was maybe three or four out of the 15 I bought. The rest were pretty substandard to average. And when you're reading that many substandard to average books through the course of the night, it really knocks the wind out of your sails. But Checkmate number 21 from Greg Rucka and others who were not as important. I'm Troutman. Troutman and Chris Samney on pencils was really, really, really good. It was so good, in fact, I thought it was Queen and Country. It was all about Mademoiselle Marie and her mission and her history. And Mademoiselle Marie is basically a badass super spy female that Greg Rucka loves and is also in Queen and Country. And she kind of looks like Tara Chase. And it was all very, especially the training session where she's jumping around on the beach shooting machine guns and being shot at. It was all very Queen and Country-esque.
So it was like a Worlds Colliding thing for you? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Josh, did you pick up, did you feel this way at all, or is it just me and Mike crazy?
I didn't at the time, but now that you say it, I can definitely see it, I think. Yeah. In fact, it's so obvious, I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've only read two issues of Queen and Country in the last year.
Ooh. Right, well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're looking for your fix, if you're a Queen and Country fan and you're not reading Checkmate, then you really should be reading Checkmate, because it's basically Queen and Country set in the DC world. This issue even... Normally, Checkmate follows the exploits of Checkmate, which is the UN-sponsored, well, it's written down here somewhere, the superhero team espionage group. And this is
a block of text I'm looking at. It's a multinational espionage agency tasked with identifying, isolating, and eliminating metahuman threats on a global and political level.
Right. So normally, you got people like Mr. Terrific, and you got Fire, and you got Sacha Bordeaux, and the dude, August General from China, and people like that, but this issue, very, very light on the superheroics. There's a brief scene with Sacha Bordeaux as she meets the new White Queen who took over for Amanda Waller.
Well, that's pending. She's in confirmation hearings, right?
Right, right. But yeah. she's the new, ostensibly the new White Queen.
That threw me off, by the way, because on the second page with the 30-person roll call, it says White Queen pending, and then a couple pages in, it's referring to this White Queen, and then I figured, okay, we're being introduced to the new White Queen, but it was just
a little weird. I went through the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those people are normally populating this book, but this time it's just basically Mademoiselle Marie, who is not really, she's not really a superpowered person. She's just a, you know, badass gun-toting super spy.
She's a French lady Captain America.
Basically, sort yes. Of. She's Captain America, or also, who were we talking about before with the mantles that passes down through the ages?
Everyone in the DC universe.
Mademoiselle Marie is basically a French national hero in the Captain America vein. She's been around. In this book, we flash back to the French Revolution, so at least that far back. And Mademoiselle Marie passes down the legacy to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. It's up until the present day, the current Mademoiselle Marie is on a mission to rescue a kidnapped little girl in Bialya, which is very much like Iraq is, and in the real world. And it's really, I mean, it's hard to totally describe how much I enjoyed this book if you don't read Queen and Country, if you're not familiar with that book or the creative team, because this is also another reason why it was similar, is Chris Samney on pencils is the guy who drew the last arc in Queen and Country.
Well, I wanted to also, like, just looking through this now, Samney, he's not really a mainstream kind of guy. I don't think you're going to see him on superhero books, but as I'm flipping through this thing, this guy is a kick-ass storyteller.
Yep.
I mean, like, these pages are great, and you know, a lot of it is talking and you know, doing stuff, and there's flashbacks in there.
There are a lot of really flashbacks in this issue. That was the thing that I was trying to count them, and I lost count of the flashbacks.
Well, but it was three, I was not lost in this. Yeah. I knew exactly what was going on.
Oh, yeah, no, it was great,
of,
yeah. I didn't get confused.
There was a lot of facial acting that he was doing. It was just great stuff.
Yeah. Can I make a suggestion for the iFanboy offices?
Yep.
Okay. When in one of the flashbacks, when the current Mademoiselle Marie gets introduced to taking the mantle, and the old Mademoiselle Marie brings her into this crypt, and there are all these glass cases with the previous costumes of the Mademoiselle Marie, very similar to the Batcave. I'd like glass cases with like our first microphone, and like things to
like the shirt I wore on the first video show.
Exactly. I just want some sort of you know, glass case archival, you know, things.
A broken Lego TIE fighter.
Yeah. Exactly.
So like the first issue of Kurt Busiek's Aquaman from Maine.
Yeah, exactly. Can we get that in the office? Is that okay, guys?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. Cool.
I think about 75% of the floor space can be devoted to that kind of tokenism.
My question about that is that where do these people get these cases? It's like this Planet Hollywood in their home of like these little kind of display cases. You know, they don't sell that at Crate and Barrel.
IKEA, they're in the back.
Oh, okay. I didn't go in that room. Okay, cool.
Yeah. they're near the giant pennies.
Okay, anyway, but yeah, no, I thought I don't know if this was pick worthy, but I thought it was it as not a Queen and Country reader, I didn't get that same vibe, but it's the Checkmate is one of the best books out there, and the Death Watch is on because nobody's reading it. So
it has to stink of death about it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't
it's
it?
It's the Abe Vigoda of comics.
As you aptly put on your post on iFanboy.com.
I want that to catch on. I want Greg Rucka to angrily respond to that somehow. Like, if there was a blog post where Greg Rucka was like just pissed off that I said that, I would totally have succeeded at all of my goals in life.
I wouldn't want that at all.
You don't want to piss him off. Don't piss him off at all. But anyway, this looks like a really good arc, and it's cool to see a little more of the espionage kind of aspect, the Checkmate, than a lot of the political.
The last arc was pretty much almost all the most important stuff was all the backroom politics stuff.
Yeah,
and there's a reason why this book isn't really a big seller. It's because it's full of backroom politics stuff
amongst 97 people.
Yeah. So
listen, the last four pages here are action.
Yeah.
Or the prelude. Yeah. When I looked and saw that you had posted it, I don't think it had occurred to me that it was going to be picked, but I was like, you know what? That's good. That makes sense. I was with you, I think, in that. And so, and it's deserved. You know, we haven't talked about it in a little while, I think.
This is also one of the more straightforward issues where it doesn't all fold in on itself, where you have to really have been following from the beginning. This one you can jump in, and as long as you like sort of action, realistic action and espionage and spy stuff, you can really enjoy this issue, not worry about what has come before.
Somebody had asked if this was a good jumping on point, and I think that, oddly enough, I don't know if there has been one before now, but this seems like a really good jumping on point.
Well, yeah,
you want to try one.
And what's interesting is because the last issue was the end of a Checkmate shattering kind of situation where Waller gets ousted, and so yeah, you're right. It is a good jumping on point because the leadership is being reshuffled and you're being reintroduced to the characters, and plus it's the beginning of a good action packed story arc. So
status quo.
And listen, yeah. don't worry about it if you're confused. That's how we all felt for the first two to three issues. Also,
try nine.
I mean, I know, but like we're like, wait, who's that? What are they doing? That's fine. That's normal.
See, the thing is, what gets me is that they're all wearing the same costumes. You know what I mean? Not same costume, but same uniform. I get that it's a uniform, but like when they're and this doesn't happen in this book, so you pick up this issue, you don't have to worry about it. But when they're all in Checkmate kind of HQ, I have a hard time telling who's who. You know, and like I know they look different. You know, but like it just got very confusing. So I don't know.
Yep.
But
speaking of more books reminiscent of Queen and Country, The Circle, number 2 from Image Comics, Brian Reed and Ian Hosfeld.
How much Josh better was this than the first issue?
Oh, it was much better.
And the first issue wasn't bad.
No. This was a big leap forward in quality. Basically, mm-hmm. The story is a sort of paper-pushing MI6 agent. He who only really does analysis, watches the news and reads the newspaper to pick up on patterns, gets embroiled with this shadowy group called The Circle, who's being hunted by a rogue CIA assassin. And lots of people get shot.
This was a really action-oriented espionage book. This one I thought... I think Brian Reed is coming into his own. I think that it's very likely that a lot of the good things that you've seen him do... with Bendis, I'm sure that a lot of ideas came from him, and he's probably not getting credit for them.
Right.
But some of his work that I'd read so far I didn't think was great. This to me shows that A, he's getting better. It wasn't gonna go downhill from a pretty good first issue. And then two, the artist Ian Hosfeld, who he was a concept artist. He wasn't a comic book artist. And he's shown improvement from the first to the second issue.
He was really good in this. I thought that's some fantastic action sequences. He does really great facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Ian Hosfeld is from video games. And this is more of like, whereas I hate to, this is the Queen of Country show just for these two issues because that's what happens. But
I'm gonna go. You guys call me when you're done.
Queen of Country is more based realistically. There is action, but a lot of it is just pure spying. This is more of an action movie. This mm-hmm. is like spies through the filter of lots of guns, lots of shooting, lots of people get whacked. This is more of the action oriented. People are all jumping out of planes, getting beat up. Getting stabbed. This is fun. This is exciting. This is the kind of stuff that I want more from comics. This is really good.
And it's always great to see when, you know, you have a pretty good first issue and you can go either way in the second issue, and the second issue just takes it and steps it up, and it really makes you want to read more. And
so many times you'll get a new series and the first issue, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. First issue is pretty good. Second issue is a huge drop off of quality, but this was actually really fun.
So am I missing the boat again? Should I go back and get these back issues, or?
I like good
stories. I mean, if you think it's worth reading, I'll pick it up. I just have, you know, so.
Did you read The Losers?
I did read Losers, and I actually got hooked on The Losers. I love The Losers.
Then I think you probably like it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. very close to being pick of the week, surprisingly, was Superman Batman number 44.
You're still buying this?
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Because I thought you dropped it when I dropped it.
I've dropped it a few times. The conceit... The conceit of this issue is actually pretty funny. The beginning is funny, and then it leads to something interesting. The beginning is Batman and Superman are on a rooftop, and they're talking. And Superman says, "You've got a secret you've never told anyone." Batman says, "You're right, I've never told you why I fight crime." And I thought, that's kind of weird. So he proceeds to tell Superman that the reason he fights crime, he says, it all started with his mother, who beat him and his sister with a baseball bat. And that's why he's Batman. And his sister was beaten into a coma. And now he will never let anyone else get hurt again. And it's because his mother used a baseball bat that he's a Batman. Then Batman takes off his mask and he's blonde underneath. And that's when we pull away to see that they're shooting a Batman Superman movie in Gotham. Starting the shop. And the real Superman and Batman are on another rooftop watching the shooting, and Batman's all pissed off because they've got his story completely wrong. And Superman's like, well, what do you expect? No one knows anything about you. They got to make it all up. And he's like, what do you want me to do? Give it? It's like, it's very much like this comic, as well as the Four Horsemen book from Giffen, is really the way I wish they would write Batman and Superman. Because
who's writing Superman Batman?
This is a new writer who his last name is Green.
Because that sounds like a very Bendis-esque kind of setup. I mean, like,
it's Michael Green.
Yeah, like when they had the Spider-Man movie and Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it comes off very much like that.
I love it when Batman and Superman are written with a sense of humor with each other. They can joke around and make fun of each other, and I love when Superman's written as any way beyond the stodgy Boy Scout. When he has a sense of humor, when he's making fun of the people he's known for a while. And he acts like a regular person. I love that because it adds so much more dimension to him than he's just standing around always moralizing.
Yeah.
And then it expands to Livewire, the awful villain from the cartoon series, attacks the movie set and ends up they were using real kryptonite in the movie to look authentic, and it blows up in Superman's face. And he gets a face full of shrapnel kryptonite, and that leads to him and Batman deciding they're going to rid the world of kryptonite. That's the storyline.
Interesting. It's funny because when you said that, I was like, why doesn't he just get rid of all the kryptonite?
That would be very convenient for Superman.
Well, apparently there was a meteor strike during one of the events that brought like 100 kilotons of kryptonite. So there's like kryptonite everywhere.
Wait a minute, but how Superman couldn't take care of that? He can't touch it.
He's gonna get a lead-lined suit from Batman. It's Batman, but
he gets somebody to help him.
Yeah,
he's got contacts, like nobody.
Yeah. And the Flash is in this.
Hey,
I mean, it was really fun book, well written, and I loved the beginning was really funny. I actually laughed out loud when I was holding the book because Superman's making fun of Batman the entire time. He's all pissed off, trying to act like he doesn't care, but he really does care that they're getting his story wrong.
Nice. That's really good. Wow. So what made you buy it? I mean,
Well, I'm thinking about Superman and Batman. Really, this should be like the biggest book.
Yeah.
One of the biggest books that DC puts out. Superman and Batman. It's hard to put that pairing wrong, but it's really... usually not very good, and it's also up to issue 44, which I found surprising because it's been around forever.
When Loeb and McGinnis were on it, it was a must read.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so
I dropped it soon after that, and then I came back on for Alan Burnett, the animated series writer who wrote an arc that wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even know this new guy was on. I thought it was good. I thought it was still Burnett when I bought it.
Interesting.
But I'm shocked this book's still alive because there's like no buzz about it. It's usually pretty mediocre.
Yeah,
There's no real reason to. You don't need another Superman and Batman book unless it's really good.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it's that team up question where, you know, they brought back the Brave and the Bold because people liked it when the classic, you know, DC characters teamed up, and Marvel team up, they try to reclaim the magic of the 70s with Marvel team up. But like the idea of Superman and Batman paired together is always interesting, or should be always interesting, you know. So I don't know.
Well, it's a great story. It's just from the conflict of the two personalities intrinsically would, but
it's every month. I mean, like, the thing is, you know, it's interesting if you got it every once in a while. You know, if it's maybe it shouldn't be a monthly book.
I mean, I think you could find good characters. I mean, like the Marvel Team Up, the classic Spider-Man Captain Britain of all characters run of Marvel Team Up is like one of the best, you know, kind of team up ones ever. You know, like when characters have a chemistry, you can just tell endless stories. If they're out of continuity, they don't matter. You know, like I don't think it's not the kind of thing like with the Punisher effect, where if you have the Punisher end the issue every time, then it loses its value. You know, but I think you could. I mean, like when Loeb and McGinnis were on it for like it was a good 2 years, wasn't it? Or was it just a year? It might have been just a year.
I think it was just a year.
Yeah, because then Michael Turner came on, right? Yeah. So. I don't know, but yeah. So
it's just an odd book. I don't know why it's still around. It's weird.
It probably sells a lot of copies based on like comic shop walk-ins.
Well, yeah, you look at that logo and you see the Bat logo superimposed on the Superman logo, or Superman logo superimposed on the Batman logo. You know what that book is, you know, because it's so iconic, you know. So yeah.
Well, speaking of iconic, there are Avengers, and they are mighty, and they are 6 months late.
And this book, Mighty Avengers number 6, is gotta be the bittersweetest comic I've read in a long, long time. Because and I don't know if you guys are with me or not, but like this might have been my pick if it was my pick this week. Like I as the standalone comic, it was a great conclusion. It was action packed. Like, love it. And then that last page when Spider-Woman shows up with Elektra Skrull ruined it.
Ruined it.
Like, however, it just reminded me that this book should have came out, what was it, June? May? Yeah.
If it had come out on time,
it would have been badass.
You would have been like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Exactly. Right, but you can't separate from the context, which is that it's this big cliffhanger, which is it looks ridiculous now in the light of being 6 months late.
So to separate it though for a second from the cliffhanger and the lateness.
Hey, I loved it when Lando almost made it out of the Ultron. That was exciting.
Well, speaking of Lando, did you see 3PO on the cover?
Yeah.
So that was funny.
Of Ultron looked like the inside of the Death Star.
Yeah. If you didn't notice on the cover on the right side along the edge, just to see 3PO mixed in all the Iron Man armors. Which is funny, but that was very Star Warsy, I guess. But the one thing I want to talk about is, like, I know there was a lot of criticism, a lot of questioning, the word balloons and stuff like that. Now with the last issue of this arc, like, I like it. It's good.
I really liked it. This one, it worked well.
Because what's happening is that if you look at the classic use of thought balloons in the days of yore in the 70s and 80s, you would get these big kind of inner dialogue, Peter Parker thing. How am I going to pay the rent? And Aunt May is coming. All these kind of stuff. But this, it's just those fleeting thoughts that we all have that totally gives the characters more context in the situation that I thought, which we don't see in comics anymore because we just see what they say and what the artist has them do. But like when they're doing the plan and Ares is in there and you see Black Widow, you know, thinking, you know, no way this works, you know, like, of course she's thinking, you know, someone's going to be skeptical of the plan. Like, I just think it adds a layer of detail that is lacking in the medium. And I thought, and now it's 6 issues in, I'm totally loving it. It's good. So
see, my take on it is actually sort of the opposite in that it takes when there's a dialogue going on between people, it tends to, for me, it's destroying the rhythm of conversations, which is one of my favorite things about reading Bendis dialogue. And so, like, it's like little diversions over and over that are taking me out of it. And I would think that if you are doing a good enough job writing stuff, you either do it through the art or through context clues, you can tell what they're really meaning as opposed to what they're saying.
I
without saying it directly.
I gotta disagree. Like the last scene when they're shutting down and Hank and Janet, Pym and the Wasp are talking.
That was the best use of it.
That was the best use of the entire of it. Like, that was the one that nailed it for me, because there's no way you can visually get that across, and there's no way you can in the words get that across, because you see that these two people have been intertwined romantically for 30 years or however many years, and they're at one of the points where they're apart, but you can still tell that they still care about each other. And it's just like, it's summed up that they're communicating, but they're not communicating on the level of relationship that they need to be.
I think you could totally do that without spelling it out literally.
No, I don't
believe you could either. I also don't think you could do it. The Miss Marvel scene with Tony Stark where you don't really realize the depth of her contempt for him.
Yep.
And it's great to know that what she says to him is exactly not what she thinks. And that's adds a whole layer of interestingness to their relationship.
Yeah.
That you couldn't get.
I think there's places in it where it works better than places where it doesn't. In the beginning, it was really throwing me off at the very start of the issue. As long as I'm complaining about things, I really actually got lost a couple of times, and I think Frank Cho's art is very nice, but there was a few sequences in here where I had to flip back and look back through it to figure out what had happened, and I'm still not entirely clear.
Oh, that's weird. I loved it. It was great.
When Ms. Marvel goes to attack the sentry, there's a splash. But we don't know exactly what went in the water. I assume it was the sentry, and then you cut – like they cut away completely. Like it's just what's happened is not very well spelled out. You couldn't look at it and tell me what the sequence of events was.
Oh, I got that. I mean, because Ms. Marvel hits the sentry. At the same time, Ares almost puts the thing on the thing. Then the next panel, it's that yellow and blue flash going in the water, of course, because they're outside. You know, and then you see that Ares got the thing, and then they see the code launch, and then it's in. Like I didn't.
Okay, then she's standing. Then so the next time you see on the outside, she's standing there, and it's getting all melty. Where are they? Where did Wonder Man come from? You're a page and a half later now. Where did Wonder Man come from? Where are they standing? Why are they there? There's no context about where they are, and then you've got the Wasp coming from out of nowhere. Like, that's pages and pages where I don't know where anything is because there's no background, there's no anything.
That could tie into the explosion a couple pages later where the rip that the combination of the rip that the sentry caused in her neck and what Ares did in there is causing that light to be expanded. You know what I mean? I could see it. Yeah, I could see where you have a problem with it, but I also see how I flowed with it, no problem. You know,
so. I did, and I didn't notice it that I was confused, but I read something later when Wonder Man was talking to Carol and she was talking about it, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't know exactly what happened. And I went back through and I really looked at it, and I was like, it's not that clear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Not as finest issue by any means.
The thing is that I mean, it's interesting because like my thought with it is that this is just a cry and shame that this was a failure, because I would love to see this on a regular basis. You know what I mean? Like
he can have an off issue though. I think this was an off issue.
Yeah. So
I think this is a cry and shame because what it's doing is it's reinforcing the idea that sort of the Marvel. The complainers, I suppose, like that Marvel doesn't want to get books out on time, and that when they promise you it'll be out on time, it won't.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Like, yeah. I hate that they're proving these people right. Yeah. I guess, you know what I mean. Like, get a fill-in artist on this, honestly, because.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. I mean, I could understand not the fill-in artist on Civil War because of what they wanted it to be and everything, but like, you know, this trade paperback isn't going to be the Watchmen that everybody wants it to be and stuff like that. So, you know, like
tied in with everything else.
And if anything, like I'm fine waiting. Like, well, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not. Like, I get crazy with the late books and I want my monthly issues and all that kind of stuff. But like editorially, I would have cut the last two pages. Like from an editorial management standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, You already know what's happening. There's no reason to have
that is such salt in the wound that I would have said cut those last two pages. We know what happened. Address it in another issue. Address it in a flashback in a later issue of Mighty Avengers that Bagley's already drawn. You know what I mean? Like do it somehow else. But those last two pages just kind of stuck the knife in your back and turned it. You know, like it was
now was the hood thing, was that all created to delay for this?
No, I don't think so. I think the hood's always been a part of Bendis' plan. I think. I don't know. Bendis called the voicemail once.
It's frustrating to see that at the end there, because it's a reminder that it should have come out 6 months ago. And it was just, now what happens? You know,
yeah. We should have known that when Frank Cho was up there showing up late eating his lunch.
You're obsessed with the eating the lunch thing on the panel.
I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah. The one thing conversely to the complaining, the liking, and maybe it's a little rip offy or whatever, but I really liked the use of the character logos when they did something, like when they had their moment in this issue. That's when you saw their name, and like it even went towards like the end when Wasp saved Ares, you saw Wasp, you know, and like I like that too, they're doing it in JSA and they're starting to do it in JLA too, like JLA Justice League of America this week did the roll call. Did you catch that? I just love that.
Iron
Man's
when he looks for his penis.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when he gets his credit.
Yeah, exactly.
Iron Man. Doc Jack.
By the way, that it's funny that you mentioned that because I almost forgot. That panels look really rushed, by the way, too. So,
I think that's part of the reason
why the art's not so good this issue. I think it's because it was rushed to get out.
It makes you wonder why on the front credits there's a special thanks to Brandon Peterson, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. It kind of spells it out.
Exactly.
Speaking of being late, we need to get on with business here.
Yeah.
So Jim Hanley's Universe, you may or may not know, is one of America's best and most progressive comic book stores. Jim Hanley's Universe offers the best selection of comic titles and related merchandise from mainstream to manga to minis. Jim Hanley's Universe has it all. I've said the name a lot of times. When in New York City, come to the place where art and literature meet Jim Hanley's Universe, which is located across from the Empire State Building in Midtown Manhattan and at 325 New Dorp Lane in Staten Island. When you go by the store, I'll mention that maybe you heard about it on iFanboy and that's why you're there, and because that would be good. And then you can visit them on the web at jhuniverse.com or friend them on MySpace, which is myspace.com/Jim Hanley's Universe. That would be where art and literature meet.
Yes.
So so you guys are loving Iron Man Enter the Mandarin, huh?
Well, I am.
Josh is.
Oh, you are? I thought you were a Connor, too, weren't you?
No, remember, I never bought the first issue.
I had the first issue for you. Oh, I thought you were still reading. Okay, I'm sorry, I'll give that
to
you.
Why would I read if I hadn't read the first issue?
I'm sorry, I have that. I'll give it to you. Okay, so Josh, what do you think?
I am loving this. This is the same reason that I picked Ultimate Iron Man last week, I guess, was just that I love this early Iron Man where he's got a secret identity and nobody knows, and you know, this is just about the establishment of his feud with the Mandarin, and you know, it's just sort of tech and actiony and it's funny, the most dramatic scene in this is a fight between like Tony Stark on one computer terminal and one of the Mandarin's techs on another computer terminal trying to take over a satellite. And like it's back and forth and they're gritting their teeth and sweating. And it's just like, I was like, this is a ridiculous action scene, but I love shit like that because it's, you know, and then at the end he suits up and you know that, you know, shit's going to go down. It's just a totally fun book. It's what Iron Man I wish he still was. I'm in love with the artist from Eric Canet, or I don't know how to say it. Canate. Canate. I don't know. Canete. Could be all sorts of things. It's just a good superhero book, and I haven't heard enough people talking about it, and I think that's a damn shame.
Cool. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. I think the art's fantastic. I looked through it at the comic store, and it's, you know, it's a great looking book.
By the next issue, I would like you to be caught up, please.
Okay, Mr. Flanagan.
Well, that's, you know, we've all got jobs to do, and Ron's job is to talk about the new X-Men.
Here's your weekly Messiah Complex update. Connor, did you like this issue? I mean, are you still good with it, or?
Boo.
You didn't like it?
I don't know who any of these people are, nor do I care about them.
Oh, I had a great time. I thought this was a great issue. New X-Men, Humberto Ramos is doing the pencils.
The art was
the best thing about the book. The big reason why I just want to mention on it is the story continues, but we had deaths, finally. I know last time we were talking about T's deaths. Nobody that we thought died in the previous issue died. They're all stable now after Beast working his ass off in the hospital at the mansion.
Yeah.
But
it's shocking.
But X-23 apparently went crazy on Lady Death.
I don't know who that is.
Deathstrike, and killed Lady Deathstrike. And then in sad news, Caliban looks like he died finally, though. Caliban dying was like enough, okay, finally. So
isn't that Darkseid's son?
Caliban was a Morlock, and back in the Claremont era, he was white skinned and he had really big eyes, and he's a tracker, basically. He can find mutants. And then Apocalypse got his hands on him and made him into like a horseman, and so made him all effed up. And then he's been tinkered with like three times since then, and most recently now he's really like thin and gangly, and like, and so basically he jumped in front of a bullet to save Warpath, or what's his name now, Proudster, the Indian guy. Is his name
whatever, he's dead. I don't care.
Yeah, Thunderbird.
I just feel like despite the deaths, nothing really happened in this book.
Well, no. Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
I feel like the stories have been running in place for the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has been. Well, what you had was, I mean, you basically had Wolverine and the X-Force team catch up with Cable, but at the same time as Lady Deathstrike in a big fight for the baby. So everybody's fighting for the baby. So nothing's happened there. And then Jamie Madrox and Layla in the future.
From last week.
Which is same scene. But what's even funnier is, like, wasn't there two Madroxes that went in the future?
Well, didn't they go to, I thought they went to different timelines.
Yeah, but I don't know. Why don't we get to watch the other one? What's going on with the other one?
Because he's not with Layla Miller. I don't know.
So, but yeah. Anyway.
I just feel like it started off with a really breakneck pace, and it really slowed down.
Yeah, it has. It has
really
slowed down.
Really been like, all right, yeah. I'm not as excited to read the next chapter as I was the first 3 weeks.
That's a little phenomenon I like to call comic book events.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. That's everyone. I could see the argument that this might be 3 issues too long of an event.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I am fully confident that the final couple chapters will be exciting. I just think the middle filler has been filler.
Yeah. So whatever, I like it. But to show some people behind the scenes of iFanboy, when we plan the show, we talk about the books we want to talk about, and Josh recommended talking about Immortal Iron Fist number 11.
11.
And I'm going to freely admit that then this is before I saw the list before I read my comics, and I rolled my eyes. I'm like, God, are we going to talk about this again? Okay, you like Brubaker. I get it, you know. And then I read this issue, and I was like, God damn, that was good.
So, dude.
So I completely, you know. And the thing was that the reason why I kind of rolled my eyes is because I thought the last 2 issues of Iron Fist have kind of wavered a little, similar to the Messiah Complex, where it's kind of like, you know, they had us all energized for this big tournament, and then it's gone off on this tangent that I don't really get or understand or care about.
It was the biggest tease, Kung Fu tournament.
Totally.
Never mind. We're gonna go over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I guess it was not the obvious thing. I just wanted to talk about this because this was awesome, and it was more awesome. I never really felt like it got away from where I could see why you would say that. I totally understand that point of view. For me, it was making me happy. This was just for me so much fun, and it's just been getting better and better. And I just really dug this, and I believe we had all David Aja, a little bit of Kano.
No,
I believe
Kano, all the flashbacks.
Yeah,
I like the Kano,
but no, yeah, totally. It all works together. It all works really well. I don't even know if I had anything.
I have one negative thing to
say.
Go ahead,
what is it?
This is not issue specific, but book specific. All the dudes with the same mask get kind of confusing.
And the fact that they're all Cobra too, it cracks me up. I mean,
all the Iron Fist masks. Yeah, like 3 people wearing the same mask, and it's just like they're all the coloring tends to be very subdued.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't really tell who's who. And when a guy walks in, it's all dramatic. You have to figure out which one of these guys it is. And it's just like, you know,
I can see that.
It's hard writing a book and they're all wearing the same clothes.
I would think I would be more confused than I am because I know what you're saying, but for the most part, I haven't been confused. Also, anybody who is named the August personage in Jade, that's funny to me.
Yes.
It's funny every time they say it, and he's Cobra Commander, which is awesome.
Yeah.
This is one of the better
ones in a while.
It was funny because you were saying that you had read a lot of Medium books. I only had like 6 books, and I really enjoyed my books this week.
Yeah,
I read a lot of great stuff.
It's funny because I had like 16, and I thought it was an average week, but I enjoyed the average week.
One of the worst books of the week, Marvel Holiday Special, Ron.
Hey, why you? Whoa! Back up! I think we're talking about Ex Machina first. Steal my thunder.
Sorry.
So.
I'm all excited to talk about how bad Marvel Holiday Special.
No,
was.
Shut up,
Connor. You did buy it though, right, Connor?
Yeah, I did buy it.
Shut up, Ex Machina. Ex Machina number 33.
Okay, now I really just wanted to bring this up because this was a weird friggin' issue. Did you guys both read it?
Yes, I thought it was very.
I'm off this.
I agree with you. I thought it was very odd. So.
However, I have decided that because I did not expect a damn thing that happened in it to happen or any of the stuff about it, that I love it.
I thought it was good too. I don't know if I loved it, but yeah, I see that point. So
I just think like the idea of having him go in there and be like meet with the Pope and the Pope has to, and it's not a joke. It's actually real. But the Pope's not a bad guy or there's nothing to it. Like the Pope actually helps him. And then in the end, it turns out the villain who's attacking him is Vladimir Putin. Like it's a real person. I was like, Jesus, this is some ballsy shit. And then at the end. I don't want to blow this for anybody because there's people who are reading in trade, but basically he says something at the end where you realize you're seeing how it's going to get ramped up. Because the fact is, him being mayor of New York, it's gone on for 30-plus issues now and something else has got to happen soon. And this looks like, well, okay, shit, something might happen and it might be a big deal. And then it becomes a whole other type of book in a good way. I really dug this. I can see why some people didn't, but he's out there and he's trying things and you don't expect any of it, I suppose.
Brian K. Vonger, watch out for radiation poisoning.
Yeah, don't fuck with Putin. Scary dude.
Exactly. So yeah, no, I agree. It was really. It ended. I was kind of iffy about this story arc, but I thought this issue was really, really good. And I thought Tony Harris has been experimenting with the art throughout this arc was really good. So
having just read through a lot of Starman, he's gotten. I mean, the dude's art has really evolved a lot.
Cool. Okay, so be quiet. I have to tell you guys, it's the most wonderful time of the year because the Marvel Holiday Special came out. My favorite time of the comic book year. I'm so excited.
You're crazy.
And it was fantastic.
No, it wasn't.
Now, here's the thing you got to understand is that the Marvel Holiday Special is not supposed to be good. It's not.
That's absolutely wrong.
It's not supposed to be, you know, like, you know, the fucking next Dark Knight or whatever, all these things that everybody wants.
That's a huge leap to go from good to Dark Knight. There's a whole spectrum of readability in there. It's completely wrong that these specials don't have to be good. The DC Halloween special was really good. It had people on it like Paul Dini and John Paul Leone, and actually people who are talented.
Was that this year's DC Holiday special?
Yeah.
I missed that then. Okay, can I borrow your copy? I want to read that. I love the thing is back up real quick is that I love the holiday books, and I'm mad that I missed the DC one. If I remember correctly, the DC one last year was awful.
The Halloween special. This is not the holiday special.
I thought last year's holiday special was really bad too. The one right. Remember when it ended with the DiDio with that drawing of DiDio as Santa? You know, like it was. Yeah, it was bad. But so what you got is a big issue with like three stories, like a 2-page Fred Hembeck, which is always good. But what I thought was great was the lead story was the Wolverine Spider-Man story, which was just fun, which was just, you know, kind of lighthearted.
It was so overwritten. It was just annoying. Andrew Farrago and Shannon Garrity, I don't know if they won a contest or something, but
yeah,
they clearly haven't written many comics.
That's just so rude. I don't know how you guys got in here. I don't know if it was bring your daughter to work day or what it was, but
it was so overwritten. Every panel had too many words. They repeated stuff way too much.
All right, fine. Scrooge, humbug. Let's stop then. I'm gonna completely admit to my Marvel zombiedom, and I loved it anyway. I could understand where you're coming from that, but whatever. It's a holiday special. It just, you know, it's okay.
It should at least be, you know, not annoying to read.
I like how the holiday special probably got pitched and drawn in like May.
I doubt it.
Like they had to get in the spirit. And they're like, well, what do we want to do this year? I don't know. It's summer. Whatever. Put a hat on it. Who cares?
The art in the middle story was excellent.
Yeah, no. The
I will give it that.
The Stevie Cibulski loner story was really good.
Alina Yurasov. That was really good.
And the random Daily Bugle story, the one that Mike Carey wrote, I actually really, really enjoyed as well, even though it was really quick, I thought, and rushed, but I liked it because it was kind of like I missed those kind of like journeys through the Marvel Universe kind of thing. So, I don't know, but I liked it. I thought that one was really old school. So, but yeah, but nonetheless.
You're a zombie.
I am a zombie. I've never said I'm not, so.
I don't even understand wanting to buy the holiday special and expecting anything out of it.
Because they can be fun stories because they're out of continuity and they're usually, if they're done well, they're heartwarming and they get you in the spirit of the holidays.
Yeah,
they haven't been for years.
Well, yeah, I would say the tough thing with that is that I would say the last one was maybe.
Wasn't there a really, really good one a few years ago?
Yeah, it was like 2003 or whatever.
You guys really liked it like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 2003 or 2004 or something like that. But the thing is that was only 3 issues ago. I mean, it comes out once a year, so it's hard to judge, you know?
It's not developing, though. Every year is a crapshoot.
You roll the dice. You roll the dice. And
but the dice are loaded.
Okay,
that's
anyway.
That's what gambling's all about. The house has got the odds for them.
Well, whatever. I just have to see it. Now I want to borrow the DC one, so.
Good luck. Yeah. I'll give you the keys to my storage unit.
You already put it in the storage unit?
Of course.
This year's? When did it come out?
He's talking about Halloween. The Halloween one, not the holiday one. There is no this year's DC holiday
Halloween,
one.
October.
Oh, I thought there was a holiday one that I missed. Okay, fine.
Halloween.
Okay, anyway. Move along.
Yes.
You wouldn't miss anything if you had a holiday queue on Netflix. That was the worst segue of all time.
I gave you the Star Wars quote to go with, but you didn't take it.
Did you?
Yeah, I said move along.
Why would
move along.
Wow, I didn't even catch that.
Oh,
wow.
Connor
that was
did.
Over my head.
You haven't watched it forever, that's why.
I wouldn't. I haven't. Well, I wouldn't have Star Wars on my Netflix queue. I've owned every iteration of it.
Anyway.
Just the two don't have anything to do with one another. Anyway, so but what I do have are lots of good movies from the Netflix who have over to 75,000 titles. So there's always something new for me to find. There's no late fees because I'm a late kind of guy. And there's free shipping both ways because I'm miserly about postage. Fast delivery because I got things to do. Plans starting at $4.99 because I don't have a lot of the cheddar on me. And a free 2-week trial because I like to try before I buy. So if you haven't signed up for Netflix, if there's 4 or 5 of you left in the U.S., you could go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. It helps support the show. You get a good product. It's all sorts of good stuff. Excellent. So
I would like to request you never use the word cheddar again.
Yes, I second that.
I don't know if I did it correctly. I have to check my Urban Dictionary. I'm not sure.
All right, so on to the emails. Oh, wait a minute. We decided to not do any emails. Yay! We're mixing it up. We wanted to get a couple more. We got a lot of voicemails this week, so we wanted to get in as many as we could. And so our first email, first voicemail disagrees with us.
Hey, it's Will or Six Guns from Tennessee. And I really got to disagree with you guys on your Sinestro Corps analysis. I don't know how y'all can say that the Green Lantern Corps lost that war. Sinestro wanted them to get lethal force so the universe would fear them. But like John Stewart was saying at the end, they know how to use the lethal force. They're going to be like police officers. Police officers can use lethal force, and unless you've done something wrong, you have no reason to fear a police officer. And also, like the argument that they lost the war because the Blackest Night is coming, well, if you're going to use that argument, then you can't say that the Allies won World War One because all it did was make way for World War Two. So I guess this is just me being like a anal retentive like history buff, saying, "Oh no, you know that's not how things went down." But I mean, I really hate to say this, I really have to disagree with you guys. So I'd really like for y'all to just sort of go into a little bit more why y'all think they lost. And anyway, so yeah, thanks, and I hope you guys have a good week. Adios.
You know, a lot of times we sit around talking about early 20th century warfare and its consequences. And this doesn't get onto the show a lot. And how it relates to DC Universe substructure. But what I think what I'm saying here is that there's short-term victories and long-term victories.
Yeah, exactly. And
the thing is, there's several ways that you can look at it. Maybe you've grown up to trust the cops. There's certainly no shortage of people who feel the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, like you said, you know, you see a cop and if you've done nothing wrong, you have no reason to fear them. I live a very straight and narrow life. I see a police officer, I go the other direction. I don't know why. I'm afraid of people with guns. You know, like I'm not comfortable when a cop comes onto the subway or, you know, whatever. That's one of my hangups. I've done nothing wrong. But for me, the fact that they can wield that deadly force, I'm afraid of that. So
and you're not even like black.
I know. I'm white.
Oh.
Yeah. That's awful.
I can't believe that Connor was the one who said that.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, it's sort of like it depends on who you are. And you know, I think that you could say that the Green Lantern people won in the short term, but also if they had won one, then the story's over.
Yeah. And I don't
also,
you
know. Sinestro wouldn't be happy. Thing is, look, if you got a group of basically an army with the ultimate power in the universe in the Green Lantern ring, and now it can kill.
Yep.
You think that's not disconcerting for people?
Who watches the Watchmen?
Yeah, it's
you've
not
also
like a
got
where you can stop a gun, you know, someone with a gun can be stopped.
Yeah.
Someone with a Green Lantern ring that can now kill you can't be stopped. And now you've got an army of them.
Yeah.
Then the universe is full of, you know, countless creatures and cultures and different, you know, and any one of those can, like, you could write a story, for example, where any one of those who has a different kind of culture can, everyone can take it a completely different way that they have the power to do that before.
Yep.
Whereas before, they didn't have the power to do it, so at least people knew that they were safe from that. And the Green Lantern ring is always described as the most powerful weapon in the universe in DC, I believe. And the only limitation it has is the willpower, and previously the cap on it.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think that Sinestro had one goal, and he accomplished that goal.
Yeah, and the thing is that I wouldn't – I mean, like, in the context of history, World War One was a victory, but it was a short-sighted victory because it led to World War II. You know, like, and this could be seen as, like, I interpreted the Sinestro War as a victory, but then Josh kind of pointed out that it was a short-term victory, but in the long term, it looks like it's pretty more dire. So, yeah, anyway.
You know what the thing is? We'll see. The story is not only halfway done. So, what happens from
there?
Look,
when Jeff Johns leaves guys... the book, the next writer ignores the whole story and doesn't even bring up the Blackest Night in 2009. We won't even be talking about it.
Yeah. All right. Our next voicemail is in the holiday spirit.
Hey, Fanboy. This is Cameron from San Diego. Just got done watching your gift episode, and I got to say, I'm so happy that you gave me more suggestions, because ever since November, I've been shopping nothing but comics for my friends. That's what they're getting in their stocking stuffers. And one of my friends, for instance, really wanted to get into Green Lantern. So for his birthday, I got him Green Lantern Rebirth, and for Christmas, I'm going to get him Volume 1. Get him on that train. And then another friend of mine who's a little younger still wants to, get into comics. I'm getting him Jeff Smith's Shazam and the Monster Society of Evil. It's just gorgeous art. I own all the prestige format editions. But, yeah, those are a couple other suggestions I have for, other people. But, anyway, yeah. Have a happy holidays, and keep listening. Bye.
Now that's what I like to hear. Given comics, whether people want them or not, that's awesome.
Listen, you take it. You're gonna like it. But
I don't know if you guys did, but I bought a lot of comics for folks in my family and stuff like that. Like, I got my brother-in-law the Heroes hardcover, and I actually finally got my sister a copy of Pedro and Me. So
I did not because I know better.
Connor, though, you have bought you've had your family into Why the Last Man.
Yeah,
you've gotten them. Persepolis came from your people.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe in our, because books get introduced to our circle by various different ways.
Yeah.
I basically have already bought everybody in my family all the comics I could think of, and we did a show about it. Those are all the ones I've already bought people.
Cool.
You should buy them Checkmate.
they won't understand.
I was going to buy them JSA.
All right.
What is this?
So, speaking of reading books in trade, here's our next voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Eddie from Soledad, California. I have a question / comment for you. In the previous podcast, I've heard about how you guys do the trade waiting thing on certain books like The Walking Dead and Invincible and other books like that. But there are a lot of us that, we don't wait for trades. Or we just like to hear what you guys think about those books, or just some sort of discussion and about these books. So I was just wondering if you guys could maybe hold an annual thing where you guys maybe discuss what's happened in the past few months with The Walking Dead or Invincible, and maybe hold that in the video podcast if you ran out of ideas. So anyway, that's it. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Eddie, you are not wrong. This is actually something that's come up a few times, and it's kind of a weird position because we are readers just like everybody else, but we have an audience and they have needs. But we've talked about this, and we're working on some sort of things. I know that when Y is over, we'll definitely be addressing that. We've been talking about how to get, because we all read Walking Dead on a different schedule, but we've never gotten to really talk about it on the show.
I got
to
tell you, as the guy reading hardcovers, it sucks. I did go against my Don't Buy Yourself for Any. Oh, no, actually, no. My girlfriend got me the hardcover of Volume 3 this week on Wednesday when the books came out. So that's yay.
What issue does that go up to?
I don't know because I haven't opened it yet.
12.
There's 4 issues for hardcover. That is a ripoff. It's like 10 bucks an issue.
Yeah. No, but as Josh said, this is something that we've been talking about. We got a couple of things lined up for next year, and I think you'll hear us. We're definitely going to try to address the books that we don't talk about that much in trade, kind of like how we did with Scott Pilgrim a couple of weeks ago. So, Eddie, you read our mind. So
yeah, we're definitely going to be working on that for years.
Awesome. So our last voicemail is a plea to the rest of you listeners.
Hi, guys. This is Tad Stones out here in near Hollywood. Anyway, I just want to thank you guys for the great shows you do, and hope you all have great holidays. But really, I'm not calling to talk to you. I'm talking to you, iFanboy listener. You're not alone. There are thousands of you. But only about 40 of you check into the forums on iFanboy.com. And of those, there's only like a half dozen that speak up every day. And man, am I getting tired of them mouthing off. Kidding, guys. Nothing but love. Please, for Christmas, check into iFanboy.com. Ron, Josh, and Connor post little essays every week, different from the shows, and you can go ahead and comment on what they think. Or go ahead and hit the link to the forum and post your own subject matter. But just give it as a present to the iFanboys for Christmas. Do it for the children.
Well, we all can't get what we want, can we, Tad? Tad is correct. There's lots of activity going on besides the show. If you listen to the show and don't hit up the websites, it's probably something you should remedy in the new year. iFanboy.com, we've got lots of stuff that the three of us write throughout the week and our thoughts on books and issues. And Ron put a fork into Wildstorm this week. And fun stuff there. The forums are always a rambunctious place, shall we say, especially lately. But there's lots of community going on, lots of fun people, lots of smart people. It's probably the best comic book community I've ever seen on the internet, and I'm not just saying that because it's ours. So come along, and in 2008 you should see lots of new features and lots of new things that we're excited about, so it's a good time to be heading up the website.
Yeah, and that's really the thing, is that, like, I was talking about it in my store this week, and we're saying how, you know, a lot of people don't have the benefit of a good store to go talk comics with all these kind of people or friends that read comics, and honestly, iFanboy.com, you know, everybody's there, your friend, and you can talk about whatever you want. So
we are iFanboy, and we approve this message.
Yes, and thank you, Tad, because I don't think we could.
We didn't pay Tad. Yeah, we didn't write that. I don't, you know.
And we couldn't have put it better.
It's unsolicited.
We couldn't have done it better ourselves, actually. So, all right, cool. So if you have any questions or you want to send in any other pleas to the iFanboy community, you can call us at 1-888-FANBOYS. That's 326-2697. All right, so you've heard us the past couple of weeks talk about our survey at ifanboy.com/survey. This is your last week to take it. A lot of people have responded. Everybody who's left their email is in the running for the awesome prize pack that may or may not include a USB dongle. But again, I make a plea to our female listeners. We know you're out there. Just give us 5 minutes. Fill out the survey. ifanboy.com/survey. Thank you very much. Last week.
And for those of you who want to pretend to be a woman, don't. It's not cool. anyways, at the live holiday show at Hanley's is coming up December 28th, 8 p.m. That's a Friday. Comic books are also coming out on Friday, so that'll be a fun one. And you can then expect a late pick of the week. It's gonna pop up late, either that or very early on Friday, one or the other. But it will be chock full of typos, I'm sure. But come out December 28th, Jim Hanley's Universe, 8 p.m. We're doing a live show and then going out to Stout afterwards. There's details on the website. We had a ton of fun last time. We want to do it again, please.
So go to ifanboy.com. It's right at the top in red, and maybe we'll be writing the pick of the week at Hanley's.
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Stupid diamond. Last week, Ron had the pleasure of interviewing two creators, Ed Burns, the filmmaker, and Jimmy Palmiotti, the writer. They did a book called Doc Walloper for Virgin Comics, and we did a special edition podcast about it. You can check it out on the feed. It's behind last week's show, or you can go directly download it from our website at fanboy.com. But it's really interesting, and if you like old gangster stories, that's probably a book for you and you want to check that interview out. Okay. Also, ifanboy.com/store, Christmas might be this week, or is it? But
is it going to get delayed like the Avengers?
It might. It's coming out in June. Christmas is this week, so if you want to get your after Christmas shopping done, you can definitely go to ifanboy.com/store, check out what we got there, or use the Amazon link to, you know, how you have to, after Christmas, you go and you buy all the stuff you didn't get for yourself.
I do that every year on the 26th. So
do it through there. Yeah. That's a fun place to do.
Tad already told you all about ifanboy.com, so I don't need to do that, but we promise we're going to keep putting more stuff up regularly, so come there.
Yeah. And also, if you go to ifanboy.com, you can find out about the iFanboy video show, which is also distributed by Revision 3 at revision3.com/iFanboy. Yesterday, the episode that came out was about music and comics. It was a lot of fun to do. And next week, we're going to be talking about a hotly debated topic of continuity. So you might want to check that out. So go to ifanboy.com.
Dun, 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 dun.
Go to ifanboy.com on Saturdays, like around 1 o'clock Eastern time, or revision3.com/iFanboy.
T-shirts, ifanboy.com has them at jinx.com/ifanboy. We actually had someone, Ron, are you excitedly that it was a winner for your contest?
I am very excited. You have no idea. It completely made my my week.
Ron's been asking for people to take their holiday photos in front of the tree with the family wearing the ifanboy shirt, and Mike Graham from Canada sent his in, and it was fantastic.
He nailed it. He got a picture with his parents, had the tree, the dog. It was wonderful. It was awesome.
Ron's going to actually have it on his Christmas card next year.
Yeah,
who's this guy?
So I'm actually in the process of putting together another awesome prize pack for Mike, and he's going to get that mailed to him directly. So see, when we put out the challenges, if you do it, you get rewarded. So.
Yep, so jinx.com/ifanboy to get an ifanboy shirt. I got the intern on the back. You can be part of the intern nation. And if you do take a picture of yourself wearing it, send it to jinx.com, get some free stickers, send it to us too. And if we think it's cool, we will say something about it.
And when we say send it to us, you could do that at contact@ifanboy, which is our email, which is I'm sure autofilling on most of your emails by now, or you can leave that voicemail, which you should have on your number one memory setting, 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697.
And you can find us online at MySpace, ComicSpace, Verb, Facebook, Twitter, so just look for us there, because we're awesome.
Yep. If you like the show, you can write a review on iTunes, or even better than that, you can tell your friends about the show, tell your comic book people. Tell the dude on the street who talks to you who you don't know. He's creepy, but he might like the show.
Listen, you're going to be spending money buying a gift for some nephew you don't really like or know. But here we are in your house every week, and you're thinking, man, I don't really need to send a donation. Well, you don't need to send a donation, but if you really felt like it, you could at ifanboy.com/donations, and you can help keep this train a-running. Send us some cheddar.
Oh, God, you did it again. We said not to. All right, so it's a good week. We just want to wish everybody out there in the iFanboy world a happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, whatever
Hanukkah's
you celebrate.
Hanukkah's 3 weeks over, dude.
I post belated Hanukkah.
It's early this year.
Whatever you celebrate, we wish you the best, and we thank you for being the loyal iFanboy faithful. So thank you very much for that. I hope Santa gives you everything you want, or whoever your holiday spirit that you look to for presents. I always try to be diplomatic with the holiday thing, and I always fail miserably.
The holiday spirit I look to is called Visa. Yeah.
All right, until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I need Mo Cheddar.
Well, again, 3 times.
That's right.
You're getting punched. When I get there, when I get back to New York, you're getting a
Where are you now?
I'm in Ohio.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I actually got on a Greyhound bus in Topeka, Kansas, and I said, fuck this ride.
Oh, cheater.
I know. So, but I'm going to run. I'm getting off the bus in Youngstown, Ohio, and I'm going to start running again after Youngstown. So
I stayed in Youngstown, Ohio. We had a lovely meal at the Bob Evans there.
Yeah, no, I've been to Youngstown.
Your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Do those pedals. Do. There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. if you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.